Change. You love change, don't you? You know, I'm one of those odd people that actually does. And I know that there's not many of us on the planet. I'm not going to give a whole message this morning, but I did want to encourage you a little and to say a little bit about change, because I think it's important. And one of the reasons I think it's important, and this is not just about Ben and Abby moving out to do what they feel like God has called them to do, and us continuing to be family together, but I just see, I think it's a prophetic thing. I think we're entering into a season of real significant change, personally, as a church, as a nation, and I believe this world is entering into a season of significant change, and that can be upsetting, but I want to encourage you, because it's the Lord that's in all of this. And so I want to talk just a little bit about change today. Romans 8:28, you probably know this, and we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good for those who are called according to His purpose. We've talked about this before. You probably all know that scripture. Most of you probably all have it memorized. The question is, we believe that, but do we believe that? You know what I mean? Because he says all things work together for good. He doesn't say all things are good. And I think we get confused about that sometimes. I think as Christians, we have to think that, like, even when devastating things happen, that we're supposed to be happy about that because, you know, all things are good. Well, all things are not good. There's some very bad things that happen in this world. I was watching a brief video clip yesterday of a lady who was a doctor in Syria. And she was talking about her experience there, working in one of the hospitals in Syria, and about, I'm not going to go into it because it's very disturbing, but she was talking about some of the children that she had ministered to, and it's one of the most gut-wrenching things that I have heard or watched in a long time. Not everything is good. There's a lot of evil in this world. And so, is it possible that God can yet work all things together for good? I believe He does. I mean, I believe that's what the Scripture says, and I believe He means what He says. And I think we're going to have the opportunity, and we all do as we grow up through life. We all have challenges. We all have changes in our life. We all have significant things that happen. And we all get the opportunity to work this out, to work out our faith in fear and trembling, and see if we really believe that these things are true, that our faith really is founded in God. Change. On Palm Sunday, a man named Nassim Fahim was the guard at St. Mark's Cathedral in Alexandria, Egypt. And he was the one that redirected the suicide bomber that came to the church that day to go, instead of going into the door, to go around to the metal detector. And some of you probably seen the video. The terrorist walked around and detonated right there. And that guard was right there by him, and was the first one that was killed in the blast. That man probably saved dozens of lives that day. In an interview that was televised throughout Egypt on the most popular talk show in Egypt, they interviewed his widow, who was standing there with their children by her side. And she said, "I'm not angry at the one who did this. I'm telling him, may God forgive you, and we also forgive you. Believe me, we forgive you. You put my husband in a place that I can only dream of." Now, the host of that talk show is the most prominent talk show host in Egypt. And when she said that, he sat there for a full 12 seconds before he could say anything. Now, that may not seem like a long time to you, but 12 seconds on live TV is forever. She said that, and he sat there for a full 12 seconds. And at the end of it, he said, "How great is this forgiveness you have?" And his voice began to crack. And he said, "If it were my father, I could never say this. But this is their faith and religious conviction. The cops are made of steel." Change. The change there in Egypt with the Coptic church, with the Christians in Egypt, began in February of 2015 when ISIS terrorists marched people out onto the beach, videoed it, beheaded 21 people, most of them Coptic Christians. And their fellow believers were able to watch all that happen. And what they saw and what they heard was that those people called out to Jesus at the moment of their death. And the president of the Bible Society in Egypt explains that what has happened to Egyptian Christians since then has been remarkable. He said, "In the history and the culture of the Coptic Church, there's so much taught about martyrdom. But until Libya, it was only in the textbooks. It was thoroughly ingrained into us. But since then, there's been a paradigm shift. Our ancestors lived and believed this message, but we never had to." So, change. What changed? Many nominal Christians have repented of sin and changed the focus of their life, and they've come to make Jesus their top priority. And it's not just the Coptic Christians, in all the denominations in Egypt. Churches are regularly filled now to overflowing with lines outside every time there is a gathering of believers. With attack after attack now, there were bombings in December that killed 29 people. These bombings on Palm Sunday in two places killed 45 more. In attack after attack, how did these Christians respond? The night of the Palm Sunday bombings, the Orthodox priest, a man named Bull George, he said that he thanks and loves those who did this crime. Speaking to a congregation in Cairo, his words were broadcast live on Egyptian television. And addressing the terrorists, the priest said, addressing the terrorists, "I long to talk to you about our Christ and to tell you how wonderful he is." And then turning to the church, he said, "How about we make a commitment today to pray for them? If they never know that God is love and experience his love, then they could not do these things. Never, never, never," he said. And so then the church stopped and they prayed for the terrorists. Does God really work all things together for the good of those who are called and those who love him? Coptic Christian leaders seem to think so. Their bishop says, "When people see this attitude from Christians in the church, they ask themselves, what kind of power is this? But with this witness of their forgiveness, we must also declare the message of Christ, which we are now fulfilling literally. We may not see the response immediately, but we will in the near future." That is their hope and that is their faith. Change. Now, by the grace of God, we are not in that position here today. Let's take a moment, though, and I think we should give thanks to God that we are not. And I think we should also pray for our brothers and sisters around the world who are. Let's take a minute and do that. Father, we thank you for your great grace to us, Lord. We thank you for those brothers and sisters of ours, that family who is filling up the sufferings of Christ on our behalf. Lord, we thank you for their witness and their testimony, and we thank you for what they are teaching us. Oh Lord, we look at our brothers and sisters in the Orthodox Church, and we may think that some of their theology maybe is not the way that it should be, and we would disagree with some of those things, but Lord, they have a relationship with you that clearly we don't yet have because they have been through suffering with you in ways that we have not. And they have come to know you in spirit and in truth. And we pray for them today. Lord, we thank you that we live in a country where we yet have the freedom to gather and to worship like this, Lord, without really having to think too much about people coming in and detonating a bomb among us. But Lord, we want that kind of relationship with you. And we want to support our brothers and sisters. And we want to have that same witness, not only of forgiveness, Lord, and heart of love toward those who would attack us. But Lord, we also want to have that same commitment that they have now to share the gospel, to share the good news, so that others might be saved, so that they would never, never, never do these things again, and that we might be with them as family in heaven. That's hard for us to imagine, but Lord, you are the God who does miracles. And so we pray for that today. And we bless you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Now, the change that they have been through, you could call that extreme change. They went from being nominal Christians in nominal churches where they went through their liturgy every week. And sometimes they attended and sometimes they didn't because they had a lot of other things to do. Their lives are busy just like yours and mine. They have families just like we do. And sometimes it was convenient for them to be there and sometimes it wasn't. But they had those beliefs hidden in their heart. And it wasn't until these kind of changes began to take place, these kind of things began to happen, that God quickened that to life. And they found that relationship with God that they had known was there all along, but it became real to them. It's extreme change. And change, as I said, is a part of life. And the important thing that we need to know is that it's God that makes the changes. It's God that makes them so. I want to tell you, it's God that is sending Ben and Abigail out from us. They moved to North Raleigh, not to the Middle East. But it's no different than when someone else moves. The church has not always been good about these kind of things. But we're going to change that because God is changing us. We're going to all begin to see that the church of Jesus Christ, in the way that God sees it, there is no division, there is no distinction, and we are all parts of the body, and God can absolutely rearrange the parts of the body any way that he sees fit. And we're going to love each other and carry that same concern for each other. These changes are the story of God and man, and that story is his story. And the Bible that we have, this is a record of those changes that God has accomplished. If you don't believe me, read through here. Read some of the stories about what people have been through, about the changes that they have experienced in their life. Our story with God begins at creation, and it has a conclusion. And that conclusion happens at the return of Jesus Christ at the end of the age. In Ecclesiastes 3:1, God tells us, "For everything there is a season, and there's a time for every matter under heaven." Seasons change. Some change we like and some we're grateful for. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. The old has passed away and behold, the new has come." We like that change, don't we? That's a great change. Boy, if God hadn't changed us like that, where would we be, right? We like those, but some changes we don't like. Joshua, for instance, found himself in that position when Moses died. His mentor was gone. And suddenly he's the leader of God's flock. What does he do now? And Joshua, you read, he's very aware that he is not Moses. And so God encourages him in Joshua 1:9 and says, "Have I not commanded you, be strong and courageous? Do not be frightened, Joshua, about these changes. Do not be frightened that you are now being asked to step into leadership. Do not be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go." And for Christians, that's the important thing to remember when change happens. God is with us wherever we go. Seasons change, people change, institutions change, structures change, governments change, and nations change. But Hebrews 13:8 says, "Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever." He is our anchor. He never changes. His word never changes. His plans, his purposes, his will, his nature, his character, his love for people continues on, and it is unshaken by the small, the large, or even the cataclysmic changes that we may experience in our short life on earth. There's one great change coming. 1 Corinthians 15, 51 and 22 says, "Behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised imperishable, and we shall be changed." That's one we can hang our hat on. So when change happens in our lives and it causes you to tremble a little bit, I want you to remember some of God's promises to his people. In Malachi 3:6, God promised his people, he said, "I, the Lord, do not change. Therefore, you, O children of Jacob, you're not consumed." Jeremiah 29:11, "I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans for welfare and not for evil, to give you a future and a hope." Philippians 4:6-7, Pam's favorite verse, "Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." I think some of the problems that we have with change is because we are finite beings. This week was an interesting week, and there was something on the national news that just absolutely knocked me over. This young man who worked at Starbucks was a barista. They had this drink. It was for a short period of time called a unicorn frappuccino. And apparently it takes a long time to make, and it's complicated. And it was a very popular drink. And this poor young man had been working all day, and he was frustrated. And so he gets on his phone, and he goes on this rant, which is posted all over social media. And it goes viral. And he goes on and on and on about how miserable this is. And, you know, I mean, it was I won't call it epic because I don't use that word for rants. But it was an extended thing. And I saw that on the national news. It made national news. This is what makes national news now. A 19-year-old going crazy because he had to make a Starbucks unicorn frappuccino. Don't be that guy, please. The changes that we get so upset about, that thing is gone already. It'll never, you know. The things that we get so upset about in this life, the changes that we take so to heart and we let weigh us down and depress, they are in the span of our lives, they're this much. In the span of eternity, they're not even a blip on the map. Hebrews 12:1-2 says this, "Let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the author and the perfecter of our faith." When change starts to shake you up, just turn your eyes to Jesus. Keep your focus on him. You'll be all right. God's in control. Amen.